Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So we're going to go over some recent purchases. This bundle has some Westerns. We have Kid Colt from Marvel Comics, 129. This says there's Blazing Two-Fisted Action in store for you. The Range War of Vengeance Valley, more rip-roaring tales of the greatest Western hero of them all. We have a 20-center Kid Colt Outlaw. This looks really cool. Yeah. This is, You Think You Got Me Cornered, Hombres. Mr. Nobody Corners Kid Colt. Bullets fly thick and fast when the fighting mad kid faces the guns of Dakota Dixon. He's like jumping from a chandelier, shooting his gun at a bar, and he's getting shot at. We have a Mighty Marvel Westerns featuring Rawhide Kid, Kid Colt, and Two Gun Kid. This is a reprint one. I think the others too have reprints. This has a snake getting ready to bite Kid Colt. He's tied up to a wooden stake. And he says, "You won't tell us what we want to know, kid? Then talk to our friend there. Revenge on the Range." We have an Outlaw Kid, an all-new. "You've stuck in my craw long enough, kid. Here's where I even the score. Thunder among the big iron." We have a Rawhide Kid 12 center, number 53. "Brought down by blazing bullets of bounty hunters, the Rawhide Kid is plunged into rip-roaring new adventure, Guns of Wild North." We have Rawhide Kid 88. This is like a split cover. On the top it has Rawhide Kid saying, "You got them all, Jess. It was your coaching, your teaching. You've made me a gunfighter." And on the bottom it has that same kid. "Look, he killed Joe Slade. No one can stand up to him. He's too fast, too deadly." And the Rawhide Kid is saying, "He's gone crazy, and it's all my fault." We have Two Gun Kid. This one says, "Could this be the end of the Two Gun Kid? Only his blazing Colt 45s can save him from a six-shooter jury, plus a second all-new Two Gun Thriller Revenge Rides Again." This is number 92, a 12-center of Two Gun Kid. We have, I don't know who the publisher of this is, but it's the Red Mask, number 51. The Magic of the Presto Kid. So this is a Western, too. This one has quite the value in my database. I don't know if it's accurate. Blazing West, number 2. So this is a Golden Age Western. I was also lucky to get this one. Anytime I can get a Fawcett book for cheap, I'm like, oh my God. This is Master Comics, number 117. It's a 10-center. Has Captain Marvel Jr. punching some criminal through a picture frame. Captain Marvel Jr. and the Art Gallery Theft. Also, Nakoya, Ozzy, and Tom Mix. Nakoya is a jungle girl. We have from Dell Comics, Frankenstein number 2. So it's weird because Frankenstein and Dracula from Dell, I think, came out in the 62s. And then later on in 66, they came out with number 2. And number 1s were like the Universal Monsters. And number 2s were superhero versions of that character. So it's got like a Frankenstein superhero, the world's newest, greatest, and strangest superhero. The origin of the new Frankenstein. Frankenstein meets Mr. Freak. We have a Dracula number 2. This is also doing the same pattern. The origin of the new Dracula, the sequel Dracula's strange superpowers. This is Dracula as a superhero. We have from Dell Comics, I think this is number 2, Millie the Lovable Monster. Looks like a funny book by Bill Wogan. Millie gives a monster party. We have from Monster Comics, King Kong. You might know King Kong number 1 because it has a Dave Steven cover. This one has a Mark Schultz cover, but this is number 2. So I just need 3 and 4, I think, to complete that series. And then finally, to wrap this up, I got Ditko's World Static number 1 through 3. So these are based on the Charlton comic books, reprints later on. that have the static character that I actually have the Charlton book for, number one, but they have 1 through 3 as reprints from Renegade Comics. So there you go. And now we'll go to some listener questions. So if we go to more and bookmarks, Dennis Caldler got some questions for us. If you could finish the main arc of One Dead Universe, what would it be? Mine would be Negation War from CrossGen. I think I would complete Unity 3000 by Jim Shooter and see how that hot mess came to a resolution. So that was in the Acclaim era when everything got canceled. That's the one I could think of, but there's probably some others that I would be like, oh my God, I'd rather have those completed. But that's one I would rather, that comes to mind easily. Some of the cross-gen, the Negation War, I would agree that some of those last few Negation or cross-gen comics, it would be nice if they came to a head. There's been some series like The Great 10 from DC Comics that just ended too short. It didn't even get to 10 issues. Went to like 9. So they've cut some series short and then never finished. There was even a Dynamite one recently that had the Gold Key characters. I don't know if it's Gold Key Alliance or another one. But it had 5 issues and then it just died on the vine. So I think some of Jim Shooter's stories didn't finish in the Dark Horse Gold Key era. Dennis also asks, what is your favorite Valiant story arc? I just kept rereading Shadow Man arc that introduced Master Dark. The inserts for Solar 1 through 10 is a close second. I don't know. I'd say Unity because it made me love the universe. It made me get all the tie-ins and all the and read it from beginning to end several times. I would say that's my greatest Valiant story arc. But some of that early Solar and Magnus, man, god dang. And the early Exo Man of War is fantastic. So Shadow Man, there's some really great stuff there. What's your favorite 80s and 90s black and white indie comic? For me, Poison Elves, 80s and 90s black and white comic. I don't have a lot of black and white comics. I've just been recently getting them. So I can't even think like what comes to mind. I know I got some Poison Elves from you. I don't think I've started reading them yet. But it's in the fantasy realm, which isn't my greatest draw. Black and whites. And I got into Ninja Turtles very late. So, like, I almost have a full run of Ninja Turtles, but that first volume. But, man, I got into it, like, way late. I was a grown-ass man. So, black and white. That Jim Ballant one I like, Tales of the Darkness or something like that with the vampire girl. I like that one a lot. There's some North Star books like Slash and I forget what the other one's called. Those were great 90s black and white comics. Faust. That comes to mind. I think that was black and white. Some of those Tim V. Hill's Grips. Oh my God. But I, again, most of the black and whites, like I didn't want to touch them when I was a kid. Like I was like, these aren't color comics. I don't want them. Now I have a lot of black and white comics. I was even that way with Walking Dead. And that was a pretty current series. You know, I was like, I didn't jump on that, but, now I don't fear black and white comics, and in some cases, I really prefer the black and white when it comes to like Savage Sword of Conan, and Vampirella, and Creeps, and Vampress Carmilla and Creepy and Eerie. I prefer those in black and white and magazine. So hope that answers your question, but man, I am weak in that area. Do you have any Tijuana Bibles? I don't think so. I don't know what they are. I've heard of them, but I'll have to Google them and hope it's not too naughty. Have you collected any pulps yet? The cover art is amazing. I've collected books on pulp art, but because most of the pulps are prose, I don't touch them. Even though some of the greatest writers in comics, I mean, in creators like Conan and Tarzan and everything isn't created in pulp magazines, I haven't touched them. Men's Adventure magazines look amazing, but I just have the covers, you know. So I know you have gotten into them because I used to listen to your podcast and you were into them. And I'll save the last two for another episode and get to the weekly reads. So hold on and I'll pause. All right, we are back and we will start with what I watched for 819 through 825. We have from Apple TV, I got a new Apple iPhone because I wanted to, but because I had to. My phone died. But I got a free 3-month preview of Apple TV again. So I get that when Ted Lasso was on and I binge watch and then I cancel it. But I join sometimes. I watch The Instigators. This is about an older guy whose life falling apart and he teams up with a guy to do a heist so he can have enough money to fund his kid who is with his ex-wife. It's called The Instigators. It's a 4 out of 5. We saw Alien Romulus at the theater. That was a really good one. That's a prequel. From Amazon Prime, we watched Batman the Caped Crusader. I thought that was excellent cartoon. Took a while to get into it. Like, the first issue with the new Penguin, wasn't feeling it, and all the characters seemed really different, except for Two-Face. He seemed similar. The rest of them seemed very different, but I was okay with it. And once I got into the flow of the series, I thought it was really good. And then the last one was 4 out of 5 was Chip Season 2, also on Freevee / Amazon Prime. So we had a total of 30 comics. That's better week. 1 Valiant, 1 Oni, 12 Marvel, 1 Kickstarter, 6 Image, 1 Gold Key, 1 Eros, 3 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 1 Boom, and 2 Archies. So let's start at the 3 out of 5s. We have Hello Darkness. I gave this a 3 out of 5, but the more I discuss this with Bill on Geek Brunch, it's really a 4 out of 5. I don't know why I didn't. That initial reading gave me the 3 out of 5, but I liked it much more after discussion and thinking about it. But this was a horror anthology from Boom Studios. A guy attaches a hand to his navel. This is probably the best story. To preserve it for a donor, and it becomes jealous of it. There's a Garth Ennis story. Is about a political discussion among friends about Russia, Ukraine, etc., and the fear of war, and it may have just become a reality. And then a former bowling star kills new bowlers because of his jealousy, and something is killing the children. Bar story tie-in. That one seemed like it didn't belong, but the body horror and the Garth Ennis story were the ones that made me think about a lot of stuff. Deadpool Battered Blood 4 through 5. That was from Marvel Comics. That was a 3 out of 5. The Final Confrontation with Deadpool, Wolverine, Cable, Venompool, as they take on Dr. Von Stuffen, Thumper, and the Core. Spider-Man joins in the fray to help Arcada, that's Arcade's sister, I believe, and Killville, get away as they get out of the arcade environment she was put them in. We have Bob Phantom. This is about a superhero, a Golden Age classic reimagined as a reporter gets super abilities from Archie Comics. Witchblade number 35. Sarah finds out more about the history of the Witchblade. Her sister is moving to the internet sex business out to California with her friends and is telling Jake about how she was kidnapped as a little girl. The Shield, number one. This is a reread of Rob Liefeld's. I liked it so much more the second time. But as the multiverse of Archie characters must kill the current John Higgins, I was disappointed that Rob never finished this because it really had some good stuff, great art, and I was very curious where they're going with the story. We'll never see the end of that. Why that happened is basically he claims is that Archie was spoiled something in the story arc in the solicit or something in a interview, and he was pissed off about it. Empaths from the Abyss. This is the Oni EC line. An anti-vaccine story, but seems to look at horror through those not vaccinated and what happens to those that are. It's a very interesting story because they both seem like they're fucked. A man must choose who dies in his family for an audience, and those that watch become the next victims. A senator changes her worldview, and a reporter tries to find out why, and they are medically altering her brain. A jealous writer kills his roommate to steal his script, but gets killed by the ghost. Boris Korloff, Gold Key Mysteries, the story of a reappearing house with the agent chasing it from town to town and losing SWAT teams. Then we get a Steve Orlando story about a jealous chef that kills his mentor with the dishwashing machine and feeding in his allergies to the dishes. He steals recipes and fame, but then uses cherry pit dust in a drink that poisons and kills all his opening day patrons. A Hollywood exec goes for plastic surgery, and this then killed her by standing for... I don't even know what I was writing for that, but it was basically a Hollywood... What exec goes for plastic surgery and then's killed by her co-workers, I think, who take over the company. I thought I already read that. I'm confused. Oh, no, that was Boris Korloff. We have Rat City number two. The two mercenary survivors are contracted by an organization that hired them for upgrades, and they really want to do experiments on them. They may have killed one of them, and then the second guy seems to manifest those abilities of Spawn. Elizabeth Bathory, it gives the backstory of Elizabeth growing up with her twisted aunt and growing up where her ancestors they were allies with Vlad Dracula. Also links her to the vampire that is the carriage driver with the coffin she's trying to stop. First issue special number 5, Mark Shaw. This is a Manhunter. Mark Shaw takes over the mantle of Manhunter to go after Al Beefer the Hog, Jack Kirby. First issue special number 6, another Jack Kirby issue, the Dingbats of Danger Street as they assist a detective in taking down Jumping Jack and the Gasser, two supervillains. Good looks, non-fat, crunch, and bananas are the Dingbats of Danger Street. Which is kind of like a Newsboy Legion, if you will. We have Misery number 2 from Todd McFarlane Productions, Image Comics. Cyan goes to live with the grandma. For a while after the attack, she lies to the grandma, and she knows and tells her. The grandma knows and tells her if she wants to stay there, she must tell the truth. She goes out again and is attacked by a man when she touches him. He seems drained, and she absorbed all of his horrible memories. Absolute Power number 2. Amanda Waller has captured a lot of the heroes and put them in prisons. The remaining heroes are depowered from the Amazo robots, hide in the Fortress of Solitude. Dreamer, Brainiac Queen, Failsafe, and Amazos invade. Superheroes with lost powers armor up in new suits and fight. John is being controlled by the Brainiac Queen. That's John Kent, Superman. And Superman blows up the Fortress of Solitude, and it looks like Kandor was destroyed. So that's a big finale ending in there. That was 4 out of 5. Captain America number 2. Steve is in an apartment and helping his neighbors in the past with Nazis are doing propaganda before we enter the war. He often gets his ass kicked, but the woman he helps in the apartment come to his rescue when he's in trouble. Also in the present, Spider-Man comes to Cap for help against the Sinister Six. We have Bloodshot Unleashed Reloaded, number 4. New Blood goes for the kill against Bloodshot, Magic, and Jesse. That's his wife and daughter. He looks like he wins, but Bloodshot takes in a non-organic substance to feed to Hill and is able to put the New Blood in place where he keeps his weapons. So he's basically... This is a part that I don't know when it happened, but Bloodshot can port in weapons from like this negative space, very much like Bloodsport from DC Comics and the Suicide Squad movie. So it's unique. Daredevil 1. Hey, Dallo, if you've been reading Bloodshot Unleashed, can you refresh my memory where he got that ability to like port weapons from this? It's almost like the Armstrong satchel of endless space, but he seems to be able to grab, you know, reach in this dimension and pull out weapons. So yeah, if you remember when that happened, if you can let me know. Daredevil 1 through 9, this is the new Marvel series. I'm all caught up on this series. Matt becomes a priest. This is after he died, by the way. He came back from the dead and is slowly getting his memory back, but it takes care of some wayward kids. His friends are being attacked by the 7 deadly sins, which have to do with him coming back from the dead. And he has to help Elektra, Ben Urich, Doctor Strange, and others as they get possessed by demons. So they get possessed by, like, gluttony and, you know, the 7 deadly sins, greed and all those. He is fighting a corrupt mercenary program called the Heat, which is led by Bullseye and the Kingpin. We have Ain't No Grave, number 3. The wife goes to gamble for her family's property, and if she loses, she can lose everything. She cheats, but may have made a huge enemy. That was the best issue of Ain't No Grave. I really, artistically, this series is amazing. That's the last 4 out of 5. The 5 out of 5s are Sam and Twitch 2 through 3. Sam goes to Max's house to ask for forgiveness. Max's wife lets Sam and Max have it, like yells at him, and is frustrated that Sam always gets away with getting Max into trouble. Max, during his suspension, goes to Indiana to get an old friend from an old friend work on a case of mutilated bodies in a field. His friend is lying about a missing cop, and things get stranger during the investigation. Max tries to call his wife, but she's still mad and not answering. Sam keeps trying to ring Max, but he never answers. Private Dance number 2. This is a about a stripper in a strip club. It's a Pat Shan Kickstarter. Amazing art. Such a great stripper story. I've been to strip clubs, so I kind of know how they work. But this is real authentic. They introduced the throne chair on the stage where men could be beaten by women. The main girl is falling for the husband. She's the main character of Private Dance. She's falling for one of the husbands that goes to the strip club. The wife is having an affair with one of her stripper friends, which is the main stripper, as things get crazier and crazier. From Dark Horse, Kill All Immortals. Artistically, this is brilliant. Story-wise, it's amazing. A reporter and a Viking female descendant must fight off their rich family and her own family of immortals. So she's an immortal, and all her brothers are immortals, and her father's an immortal. They're like Thor and all that stuff. They're like Viking immortals, and they're sort of like a mafia gang. And by bringing in this reporter, they want to kill her and the reporter. It's an amazing series. So those are the books from August 19th to August 25th. Again, the top books were Salmon Twitch 2 through 3 through Image Comics, Private Dance number 2 through Cheeky Comics Kickstarter, and Kill All Immortals number 1. So I want to thank you for listening. And again, you can send me questions and I will gladly answer them at Mike Myers Brunch at Blue Sky and Twitter. You can send me email at MikeMyersBrunch@gmail.com, or you can post something at the threads on Geek Brunch Podcast or DC Noise Podcast on the episode threads, and I will read them because I'll get notified. And that's how to get a hold of me. And keep reading comics, and we'll talk again next time. Take care, y'all.